as opposed to what the bulletin reported. This week is Parshas Para. We could have read it both weeks. And what's interesting is to explore the source for reading Parshas Para. We have the Dalet Parshios that begin with Shkalim, then Zachor, then Para, and then Hachodesh. And you always have a break between Zachor and Para, 1 week break, which was last week. The Beis Yosef says, the Kasvu Bitosfos Beresh Perak Hayakore, the Yesh Parshios Hamechuyavin Likros Da'oraisa, Kimo Parshas Zachor or Parshas Para Aduma. Now, we certainly don't make as big a deal for Parshas Para as Parshas Zachor, but according to the Beis Yosef, maybe we should.
What's his source?
So that's what we're going to have to explore. When you call something a Daraisa, you have to have a source.
We don't announce anything.
So what Alan's bringing up is that we announce, when Parshas Zachor, we always announce we're about to fulfill a mitzvah. Why do we announce it? So the only reason I could come up with, we don't announce before Shema, we're about to say Shema and we're having the mitzvah, right? Before Kriyas HaTorah, David announces the page number. He doesn't say we're fulfilling a mitzvah. Why do we announce that there's a mitzvah Parshas Zachor? So the one answer I heard, which makes a lot of sense, is that we read the Torah every week. Everybody assumes it's the regular chiyuv, whatever that is, to read the Torah. We want to stress this is different. It's not just a regular maftir. This is a mitzvah of Parshas Zachor. So should we announce that with Parshas Para? What's interesting is the Mishnah Berurah goes out of his way to, I don't want to jump the gun, but he's going to argue on the Shulchan Aruch based on Achronim and say that Para is not Daraisa, but he says, we still lechatchila say mitzvah tzrichos kavana derabanan, so maybe we should announce it. I don't know of many places that announce it, and I'm not a big fan of making new announcements.
I think 1 year I announced and everybody laughed at me, which happens all the time anyway.
But we women always run to your Parshas Zachor. If we can't hear it today, we run it.
So we're going to have to see the source and then see whether or not women would be included. Right? Now, with Zachor is an interesting, this is the role, and I really, I'm almost set on speaking about this part on Shabbos Haggadol, the concept of minag. Halacha does not work as simply going back to sources and trying to investigate and even add up shitas. That's just not the halachic system. Even for Sfardim, who always had very strict rules of psak, there's so many exceptions to the rules. This is a good case where if you analyze the sources, I would say it's very likely that women are chayavos in Zachor. Right? There's one shita that says they're not chayavos. Yet, we know that historically women did not attend shul for Zachor. Now, it could have been based on sociological reasons. It could have been based on many things. But that's the role of minhag in the development of halacha. Para, as we'll see, the consensus of the Ashkenazi poskim is it's only a mitzvah derabanan. And I have never heard of you know, extra readings of para and encouraging people who don't usually come to shul. You know, there's somebody I know in a wheelchair who only comes to shul for Parshas Zachor, right? But I never, and I see him all the time. I never said, you know, you should make it twice a year, Parshas Para as well. But that's what we'll see. If I didn't actually find any direct sources about women in Parshas Para, but we'll see the source and try to come up with our own conclusion.
In old shuls in Europe and other places, did they have an Ezra's Noshim?
They did, but if you read the Mishnah Berurah, it's funny because nowadays the things have come a long way, and Ezra's Nashim is very inviting. Even in shuls where it's not, you know, I want to use the word progressive after APAC conference, where that's the word of the conference. But, you know, in many shuls, it's separate but equal. They're sitting,
right,
you know, on the side.
I agree, but even in
shuls where it's in the back, or there's a curtain, and they, in the old days, you read from the poskim, it was pretty much a separate room where they barely could hear.
Right.
And you would have, in many places, they describe one woman would sit close enough or next to the little hole that they could hear something, And she was like the chazan for the women, mm-hmm. who were totally separate. She would, they're up to this, and yeah. she would then say it. And that was the situation. It was a very different reality. And this is something, and I don't want to be misquoted, but halacha was developed in a different time. And the role of poskim is to figure out how to you know, keep the core principles and keep it relevant in every society. I mean, a good example, the mitzvah bracha of shachianu on clothing, or you know, an avil not buying new clothing. Go back to the times of Chazal. What was new clothing to them? How often did they get it? What did it represent? Right? When somebody, Rabbi Einemar told us this, Rabbi Einemar used to tell us that nowadays you don't make a shachianu unless you get a really good suit. That's what he felt. He said in the old days they used to buy a suit once every 10 years. That's it, right? You bought your suit, you know, this is a once in 10 years experience, similar to today buying a car, right? But nowadays, he said, people who buy a suit every year or two, that's what he told us, they wouldn't. And then you wonder, what about, you know, the restrictions in the 9 days? And that's another good example. Rabbi Abadi has a very graphic tshuva where he describes the stench in religious communities in the 9 days where they don't shower. And he said, they're not talking about the showering that we do today. And he has diyukim from the poskim. They're talking about showering when you did it once a week at most. Maybe once a month. Don't do it during the 9 days. Right? But for somebody, a society that is used to showering every day, and he writes in the Israeli heat twice a day, to go a whole week without showering, he says, is not in the spirit of the law, it wasn't the intent of the law, and it's a chilul Hashem, and he says, who wants to be with you on the bus? It's a very funny...
funny. Food also, I've heard that food is available all year round.
So that's something Rav Elyashiv wrote about, that he was... In the old days, you had the season that you could get strawberries, and once a year you could get this fruit. Nowadays, you go into a specialty market and you can get fruit any time of the year, any fruit. So this is something, and again, I don't, you know, how halacha adapts, I don't want to say changes, is the Mesorah is that things change.
It's like
those who did not
change. Winning a game.
But according to Rabbi Einemar, more likely to make a shachianu on that than on buying a new suit. So this is something when a lot of women's issues with halacha, you have to understand also the sociological reality. That's something that the Chafetz Chaim wrote about. He writes in Likutei Halachos about women learning from the Gemara in Sota that says that a father should not teach his daughter Torah. And interesting, Rabbi Weinberg understood that to mean that he can't make her learn, that you shouldn't make it part of the formal curriculum, but that a girl can and should be encouraged to learn whatever she desires to learn. That was Rabbi Weinberg's philosophy. But the simple understanding through the ages was there's certain parts of Torah that women should not be taught. They should not learn. And the Chafetz Chaim writes that things have changed. This is what he writes in Likutei Halachos. And it's a Chafetz Chaim. It's not, you know, Rabbi Avi Weiss. Chafetz Chaim says that society was different. And, you know, women were not going to public schools where they were learning, you know, other information. And they were living at home and educated in their homes. And they were able to absorb Jewish values that way. Now, they're not living at home anymore. They're out on their own. And they're absorbing secular values. He writes, we have a responsibility to start teaching them Torah. Now, he didn't write Torah Sheba'al Peh, but Rav Soloveitchik, you know, a couple generations later, just expanded what the Chafetz Chaim says. So when you bring up women in Zachar, women in Parah, I think a lot of it has to be how the Sefer HaChinuch, Hadas Yachid, about Parsha Zachor became accepted lahalacha in many places, that women don't go to shul for Parsha Zachor, is a statement of a different sociological reality than today, where if women, if let's say 50% of the women in shul are coming after davening, towards the end of davening, or for part of davening, to then say, but don't hear Zachor, you know, does not seem to be consistent with what, you know, the rest of our lifestyle today. But Shabbos Hagadol, hopefully. I'm just working on trying to keep it to sugyas that are not hot button sugyas, you know.
One thing, Rabbi, and I'm not going to hold you, one thing you must address is that's the way the conservative movement started. I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to say what you're preaching is what the conservative movement preaches.
But exactly. So the question is how things change. How things change, who changes it? Do you always need a Chafetz Chaim to change things? And the what's interesting to note is the group that wouldn't, that was the most resistant to change, were the Essenes, the extremist groups that you don't hear of anymore because they died off. That the Sefer Ikarim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically put into Torah, the Mesorah is that there is a way it adapts and changes. Who gets to make that call is the big question. What's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai and, you know, Solomon Schechter is the question of the hour. What's the difference between anyway,
yes.
Parshas Parah, which is a non. I'm going to focus on horseradish for maror and oat matzah and, you know, and the development of the Haggadah. I mean, a lot of you think what we're doing on Pesach is exactly what they did?
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you, the matzah looked different, the maror looked different, the Haggadah was different, the size of the kosos were different, right? But it was the same. Pesach was the same. And that's the trick. And who, you know, we looking at hindsight, we see that the conservative movement was wrong. Besides the methodological errors, we see historically that, you know, that they pushed things too far. But the question is, can we analyze it from, you know, going forward and see? And that's people who are opposing open orthodoxy are... That's what they're doing.
What does that mean?
For another time.
I'm not going to record.
Rabbi Weiss's book about modern open orthodoxy is coming out this month. He will give the working definition. But that's beyond my pay grade.
I'm not going to record the Shabbat Gadol.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Say what you want.
Okay, so the Beis Yosef tells us, he quotes a Tosfos, that Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah are Midaraisa and the Shulchan Aruch follow suit. Now remember, Shulchan Aruch is the clips notes to his work, the Beis Yosef. So we're not surprised. Generally, 95% of the time, you read the Beis Yosef, you can predict what he's going to say. He quotes the Tosfos in here, Yeshomrim Sheparsha Zachar Parshas Paraduma Chayavim Lekara Midaraisa. The Mishnah Brura tells us, Harbe Achronim Kasve Sheparsha Zu Eina Midaraisa. And the Mishnah Brura is consistent in Kuf Mem Vav. The Shulchan Aruch again, there in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, he tells us Zachor and Parah Daraisa, and the Mishnah Brura writes more explicitly in Kuf Mem Vav, Ayem Bebir Hagro Uprichadash, Vishar Achronim, Shekasvu De'eno Iker, Uparshas Parah Humidirabanan, Mikom Makom Linyanze, Mistar Begam Leditu, Lamekulinan Kol Hakulos, but still, it's Midirabanan. And this is why. In our shul, three times since I've been here, in 10 years, we've had bar mitzvahs Parshas Parah. We've had a bar mitzvah Parshas Zachor maybe once or twice. We've had three bar mitzvahs Parshas Parah. We let the bar mitzvah boy lay in Parshas Parah. We don't let the bar mitzvah boy lay in Parshas Zachor. And that's because when a boy reaches 13, how do we know he's actually an adult? According to the Gemara in Yevamos, you have to check him for physical signs. We don't do that. There was a kid in my class who didn't want to have his bar mitzvah because he was terrified that that's what happens in the meeting with the rabbi. I can assure you, he said, how can you assure me you haven't had your bar mitzvah yet? He was one of the first. I said, ask somebody from the grade before. And he was too scared. He had his bar mitzvah. He did it in New York. I don't know if that's the only reason. But we don't, the Gemara says that the only way would be to check for physical signs of maturity. Even that is not foolproof. So how do you know that a 13-year-old boy is a man? It's called a chazaka. Chazaka that you assume by 13 most boys have achieved this physical maturity. Chazaka we don't trust lechatchila for daraisas. So zachor is a chi of daraisa. According to everybody, we don't let a bar mitzvah boy lame. And mitzad lo plug, even if he had a full beard, we wouldn't let him lame. But parshas para, we follow the Mishnah Berurah, who says the prichadash and the gra, and shar achronim, which means he thinks the consensus of poskim is that it's only derabbanan. So the question now that I want to explore is, what does it mean that it's daraisa? So if you, the next couple pages is just getting into the nitty gritty machlokas rishonim about about whether it's daraisa or derabbanan. But the obvious issue would be, if you say it's daraisa, so then what is the source? Every daraisa has to have a source. So if you take a look, this isn't numbered, but the page that has 14. So you could say it's just halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. But yeah, they could say it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but nobody suggests that.
It's not true.
What?
Which means it's not true.
Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, somebody has to have that mesorah. Right. So take a look at the Magen Avram, right above 14. Umishum parshas para svirale delo habe midaraisa, de be'emes ein tam bikriyasa midaraisa, gam lo yadana hecha remiza. Right? Which means even for a derabbanan, usually there's some kind of remes. Right? And it's interesting that there's a machlokas achronim when Chazal look for an asmachta. Right? A lot of times the Gemara says that you have somebody says it's daraisa, and they quote a pasuk, and the other one says it's an asmachta. This is just a hint to it in the Torah. What is the function of an asmachta? So some say it's just a memory tool. But a lot of achronim say it's not just a memory tool. That this concept of fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, that everything should be hinted to in the Torah in some way. That it was like a hashkafa to try to find either a reference or a hashkafa or a sensitivity, and that's what they're looking for when they're looking for an asmachta.
Or the other approach, Rabbi, is they did this, they did this in practice since who knows when, and wanted to find some source for the practice that they were doing.
Right.
In other words,
so you find that a lot of times with minhagim. And this is something interesting. Again, I don't have 2 or 3 hours for Shabbos HaGadol, but you have a lot of minhagim where you hear the reason, and is that the source, or is that afterwards? Right? I'll give you a good example. The dreidel, right? Where did the dreidel come from? So the dreidel comes from a German spinning top game that had the same letters associated with the same, right? It was a German Gans, Halb, right? Hey, Gimel. Mm-hmm. They had the Shin, Stel, and Nun is Nish.
Nem.
Right?
Nem.
So all, and the scholars have found what this game was, who was playing it, right? Where you see it mentioned in Jewish sources. But you look generations later, and the Hasidim take Gimel Shin Nun Hey Goshna, and they find references, and right, and it's beautiful how it all, and the dreidel they make, the Bnei Yisachar, the difference between the dreidel and the grager, that the dreidel you spin from the top and the grager you spin from the bottom, the Nes of Chanukah versus the Nes of Purim, and it's all beautiful. And maybe it's hashgacha that it works out that way. But the practice came first, and the explanation came later. Yeah. And the question is, so what Alan's saying is maybe with an asmachta, it's the same thing, and it could be. That the rabbis decided we need this, but we want to give it legitimacy, a memory tool, a connection, or just, that We want to find a way to relate everything to Torah. That's 100%. And that's the open debate. I found it between the Malbim and the Torah Tamima. But here, the Magen Avraham says, I don't know the source for Para. Forget Daraisa. Where is it hinted to? Where does it come from?
But that's a lot stronger than, you know, the cradle top and stuff like that. You're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, right?
Kriyas HaTorah. So, really, so you have to find a source. Who would have told us to do this? Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If there is, and we know from the time of Chazal, there is this custom or mitzvah, derabanan or daraisa, to read para, what was somebody thinking? Right? Nobody just woke up one morning and says, I think this is a good parsha to read. You know, it's long, right?
People were young to.
Right. So take a look. One of the earliest sources is the Sefer Minhagim, number 14. Parshas. So he starts off by saying only Zachor's Daraisa, right? It's a Machlokas Balei Tosfos. I don't really. That's what I tried to get into in the earlier sources. Then where I underline Parshas Para Bishlishis Mishum Da Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Sholin behilchas haPesach chodim lePesach shtei Shabbosos, v'tamei eino osa Pesach, l'kach korim b'parshas para b'shlishis, kidei sheyikanes lePesach b'tahara, v'ikar tahara b'para aduma al tuma chamura.
That's what I've always thought.
So 2 weeks, although we don't pass in Rosh Hashanah, we pass in 30 days, right? There's a machlokas how long before you need to start studying the halachos. And then there's a separate machlokas whether it applies to all Yomim Tovim or just Pesach. Rav Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks is what you need, right? And then before you get started learning, he says you should think about the fact that you need to be tahor for the Korban Pesach, and that's the source of the minhag. And even though nowadays we don't bring the Korban Pesach, although there were throughout the ages there have been some who thought we could bring the Korban Pesach. But we do a lot of things. We learn the halachas of korbanos. We read the korbanos in the morning at some minyanim,
and we do
machtis hashekel. Zecher lemachtis hashekel. So it sounds from there. This is very clear. Not d'oraisa. Somebody put it in. What it's not related to Purim. It's related to Pesach, and it's specifically the week before Hachodesh. So that you start thinking of Tahara before Pesach. The Sefer Kolbo.
It's interesting that just by the fact that the practice of reading Parshas Par is in Sefer HaMinhagim, seems like the Mechaber of that Sefer,
Rav Yitzchak Isaac Turna,
believes that it's not a halacha, that it's a minhag.
No. Sefer Minhagim has halachas too. Sefer Minhagim. Sefer Minhagim. Sefer Minhagim. It's not just halachos,
okay.
But it has a lot of halachos. Okay. Sefer Kolbo also, written actually a little earlier, a different part of the world in Spain. Lama korim parshas para b'shlishis shekach amrizal dorshim b'elchos haPesach kodem lePesach shloshim yom v'tamei lo hayu yachol lasos Pesach ad acher hazaha. Vahatara, ulafika chorim parshas par b'shlishis sheyesh b'hilchos tara v'dinei haza kidei sheyilmidu Yisrael l'tar atzman l'tnei ha-pesach v'yasu ha-pesach v'tara. Okay? And the Sefer HaChinuch, we don't know who wrote it, but take a look at the next page. Zulase yesher l'tamei meis lasos pesach shi mitzvah gedolam od nagu kol Yisrael Likros Parsha Zuba Cholshana Vishana Bishabas Kodim the Parsha Zachodesh. Right? But look at the Nagu Kol Yisrael. It doesn't even sound like it's a mitzvah derabana. It was something that people started doing so that they would remember to the Abu Dram, Parshas Para Aduma, Lahodia La'am Shem Tmei Mesim Shiitara Be'efer Para Lefi, Shibarosh Chodesh Nisan Maschilin HaRachokim. Lalos Lirushalayim, not linking it to when you start learning the halachos. How long did it take? We know this from the Gemara and Tanis about when Eretz Yisrael started saying Masha Baruch Amorei Degeshem because of how long it took people to get home. So he says 2 weeks was when the first people started traveling before airplanes, obviously. Lefikach ein mafsikim in parshas paraduma leparshas achodesh בפרשת החודש להודיע לעם שבשבוע נכנס יהיה ראש חודש ניסן, יכינו עצמם לעלות לרגל.
Or is this saying that it's only 2 weeks to get to the farthest point?
Depends from where.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, then, so I understand by Yom Tov, the second day in Golios, is right. Because the Shulchan couldn't get past, in 2 weeks couldn't get far enough.
The only reason we do it now, and even at that time,
but even back then, they should have known by. So maybe this is the regulars. Not the farthest places.
Yeah.
Meaning, it must be that the people in Babel who would regularly travel, the people that the shluchim would go to, those areas. It sounds from here would not travel to Israel for Aliyah Leregel.
But it says
harachokim who usually travel.
Who went?
Okay. Rashi and Megillah points to this as well. Para aduma lahazir es Yisrael letaher sheyasu pischeim betara. But again, this does not appear to be, this appears according to these Rishonim, either a minag, at most a dirabanan, right? To tell people to be metahar themselves.
More of a minag.
And that's, but what's interesting is the Mishnah Berurah doesn't sound like that. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's a din dirabanan.
Again, but if you did the timeline, you'd see the whole thing would be different. If you did a timeline, you would see that it all started out to teach the people to be tahir.
Yeah.
At the time when they're going up to the base of Midrash.
Right.
But it
doesn't sound like it. The question is, could this have then become some kind of mitzvah derabbanan? Because you have things like that. It started off for practical reasons,
like lulav,
and now it's zecher. So lulav was a specific takana, and machzis hashekel is a minah. It's a minag that we do zecher lemachzis hashakal. Is this a minag? Is it a dindarabanan? It's hard to know from these sources.
The question is, when did these things start? Did this start during the...
So this started in the times of the Gemara, but we don't know how early.
We don't know how early.
That's the problem. The Gemara and those who...
The question is how the Beis Yosef would call it a Doraisa.
So that's what I want to get to. But the Beis Yosef goes with the minority opinion of Poskim. He calls it the Tosfos. It's not, and I put in the earlier sources, it's not every one of the Balei Tosfos. There are many versions of Tosfos, right? We don't know, when we call him Tosfos, we don't know who it was. We don't know who, but which of the Balei Tosfos authored the Tosfos in our Gemara, there are different theories. But we know there were Tosfos Shantz, and Tosfos Tach, and Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. I have a great story with Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. this is just Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's godless. I used to go to a shiur of his on Tuesday nights. It was a 3-hour shiur, and Ellie used to come. Mm-hmm. And there was a man who was a professor in Machon Lev who used to come religiously. And he once, he raised his hand and he said, there's something in the Daf Yomi from a couple weeks ago that is different than what you're saying. So Rav Aaron said, if you're referring to the sugya in Masechet Shabbos on Daf whatever, he said, I don't think the Rishonim are different than what I'm saying. And he said, no, I'm sure. So Rav Aaron said, he thought, and he said, no, I really think that sugya works very well here. No, I remember. I don't remember who it was, but the shir I went to, so Rav Aaron puts his head down, and he said, you're right. According to the Ritva, the Rashba, the Tosfos, it's not, but Tosos Chachmei Anglia would be a problem. It was really a moment.
Rabbi, is there anybody that says the Paraduma is a kapara for the Egel?
Good. So yes, take a look at number 21. Thank you. So this is Alan Baruch Shekivanta. Zachor al tishkach esa shehik safta Hashem alokecha b'midbar l'min hayom asher yatzasa meretz Yitzrayim. Number 21. Ad bo'achem adam akom hazeh mamrim heyisam im Hashem. Okay, that is according to Rishonim. This is a statement of never forget. Remember how you angered Hashem. Mamrim heyisam. What does it mean? There were so many things that we did in the Midbar, but Rishonim say, Chet HaEgel. right? There was Meraglim. Mm-hmm. This is talking about the Chet HaEgel.
I don't think anybody disputes the fact that the practice of spreading the ashes of a Parah Aduma is Deraisa, right?
Yeah, that's not clear. What we're dealing with.
We're just dealing with
why do we have to read it this time of year? The Tosfos says, and the Beis Yosef says, it's a mitzvah Deraisa. Says the Magen Avraham, you need a source to call it a mitzvah. Tell me it's a halacha Moshe Misinai, but you need a source. Comes the Malbim. And the Malbim says in 22, Hine mevor b'sifri u'megillah zachor yachol b'libcha kishu omer lo sishka chare shichas haleva mor mani mekayim zachor shiti yashona b'ficha u'memela rak zechiras masa amalik b'peh hu mitzvah saseh mishim d'chsiv zachor al tishkach aval b'shar zechiras d'chsiv zachor levad ein chiyuv rak b'lev. Vigam Zakhiras Masa Malikim Jainla Zedzman Mugbal and Chiyav Rak Pam Echad Bashana Lazek Kabu Parsha Zachor. He says, Chazal understand, in Parsha Zachor, with Amalek, Zachor means just to remember. Al Tishkach means Bepeh. The redundancy, or maybe the language of Al Tishkach, that's why we have to do it Bepeh. If you remember, we discussed, not every Rishon says that it has to be the specific Parsha of Zachor. Right, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Chinuch imply that you just have to say something. Mm-hmm. You just have to say something. It's different to think versus say. Yes, yeah. But so says the Arza Sachayim. That's only when it says Zachor Al Tishkach. You have what we have to remember Shabbos. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. Right, Belev should be enough.
Well,
but then he says, but if you think about it, when you see 21, Zachor al Tishkach with Egel, so says the Arza Zachayim, Hine b'masa Egel shekasev bo gamkein Zachor al Tishkach, Esa sheikzavta, uvetaras kohanim darish le gamkein shechiv lezachor v'peh, tzarech iyan amai lo tiknu bo kriyas haTorah. He starts, forgetting that we're doing a shir on Parshas Parah, he says, I have a question. The Sifri says, Al Tishkach means Bepeh. It doesn't just say it by Amalek, it says it with Chet HaEgel. So, do we have a Chiyuv to remember the Chet HaEgel Bepeh? According to the Sifri, we do. Ayem b'Magen Avram Sham Kazeb Neshu Ginusan Shel Yisrael. The Magen Avram writes that the reason we don't do it is because it's a disgrace. Okay, it's a disgrace, but we're not going to do a mitzvah because it's a disgrace, right? That's a little strange, well, especially in context of Pesach. Maschil b'gnusa misayim b'shevach. Even Amalek, according to many Rishonim, the lo yarei Elokim is going on the Jewish people. That's also a genai. Mm-hmm. So says the Malbim, v'nira shemitam zeh. He comes and puts everything together. He says, Tiknu Parshas Para. He says, I have an answer to everybody. How do we remember the Egel, the Peh? And how do we deal with the fact that saying it outright would be Gnai? We do it with Parshas Para.
But Parshas Para does not mention it.
But even if the rabbis establish it, it still could be Achi of Daraisa.
But nowhere in Parshas Para does it mention it. It's a drush. It's a drush of some sort.
So that's, and that is a problem.
Maybe that's the reason why
we should announce it.
We don't do it Kisisa. In other words, technically, when you think about it, we should do Parshas Parah, Bixkisisa.
But this is a way of keeping
it kind of secret a little.
Okay, but I agree. It's too secret. You know, you need the Malbim in the 1800s telling us this, right? So, Ayeb Magen Avram. Let's read this. Mipneishu Genusan Shal Yisrael Venerish Mitam Zeh Tiknu Parshas Parah Ubepiske Tosas VaRash BeChidush of Kasev Shu Mida Raisa. Valechem Chamudas Tamale Amlama Yemina Torah, right? In the Magen Avraham we saw, what's the source? Lulefiz and Nira Shayidei Shei Efsher Likros Masa Egel Shu Gnusan Shel Yisrael Kaman Shekatzav Megillah Tikne Bavuro Parshas Para Shekol Masa Haya Negen Masa Egel. It's beautiful lumdas, but it's hard to hear. If this was the reason, then somebody should tell us. Somebody should say, right? The Gemara, Rishonim, right? That nobody says this until the 1800s. is hard to accept that this is the interpretation.
And yet the question is a good question, then why don't we have to take a pay? It does the Adishpa.
Exactly. But now we have another question. Number one, what is the source for para being daraisa? And if para is not keneged cheta egal, then why don't we remember, right? Zachor al tishkach, what are we supposed to do to remember, right? And so maybe we'll say we read Parshas Kisisa every year, but we should have it in mind.
Yes.
You need mitzvah srichas kavana. And even more than that, we read it every year, but remember in Eretz Yisrael, they were reading the Torah every 3 years. So so that the question is this just adds to our question.
I mean, I don't know if we have the answer to this question. We have sources for that, but I wonder whether, because of the timing, whether there actually was a Parshas Para type activity, if not reading it, at the time that we had a Beis Hamikdash. In other words, the word had to get out that Pesach is coming.
Right.
We're going to have the Korban Pesach. Make sure you are Tahar. And, you know.
Right. Right, that's why the first what most of the Rishonim say is so compelling, right? That the reason for Para is it's a way of announcing the same way Parsha Shkalim. What's the reason we have Shkalim? It was a way of telling people you gotta go to your piggy banks. We need your money, right? It's no different than when we announce, you know, we're collecting Maos Chitim. When we announce, you know, please go to APAC, whatever it is, it's an announcement. That's what it is, according to most Rishonim. How do you announce? How do you make sure everybody is there? You tack it on to Kriya Satora.
Yeah.
They know that by the time we make announcements, half the people have left.
Yeah.
So you tack it on. Instead of Maftir today, we're going to make an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Shkalim is an announcement to give your Maftis HaShekel. Par is an announcement to take care of your Tahara needs because Pesach is coming. That's very compelling.
That's
the question is, and that, I believe, is why the Mishnah Berurah and most Achronim say it's not Daraisa. It's a Minag, it's the Rabbanan, it's a Zecher. But we have this very real Shita. And it's not just the Kitzer Piskei Tosfos and the Rashba in one place. The Shulchan Aruch paskins accordingly. So what's the source? Comes the Arz HaSachayim and says this is the source. Take a look at the Torah Tamima. He says something similar. V'lachei, number 23. Nira b'tziruf svaras ha-magen Abram. Ki al pi medrash ha-gadah sh'barash sh'veinu duchomasa apar hi l'chapra masa egal. V'lachei. Kidei l'kayim mitzvah saseh d'zechir asa egel. Like the same thing that Altishka, 23. D'zechir asa egel v'imzeh, shelo l'farseh mefurash genusan shal Yisrael, heichi d'efshel l'kayim ha'enyan b'lav hachi. He points out, right, if the mitzvah is to point out genusan shal Yisrael, we'll do it. Right? Mitzvahs are not always fun. Tiknu likros, Parshas Parviyotzi Mizeh Dekris Parshas Zui Midaraisik and Mavor Vine Afim Namar Shalok Kivna Rishon Bemashe Pasku Dekris Parshas Parviyotzi Lasvarsha Kasavnim Kolzen Nir Madvaram Kedaila Omram. He almost backtracks. Even if that's not what they meant, it's a good Svara. Take a look. The Emes LeYaakov is Machavit to the same thing.
So everyone who says it's a Daraisa,
mm-hmm.
are they saying it's a Mitzvah Seisha as Mangrama? And if not, why aren't women? We talked about before.
It's not a mitzvah. Zman grama.
No. For those who say it's a deraisa.
Some women go. Well, they were involved.
No, but the minute to go.
If it's an some women go because they think it's a deraisa for them to go.
Right. But the question is, would this be a mitzvah seisha zman grama? It doesn't have to be done at any particular time.
You can do it whenever you want.
The same way with zachor, without the chinuch, and the chinuch is very difficult, who says that zachor is part of the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek, and women, the Gemara in Kedushin says, are not involved in Milchama, right? So that's why women are not Chayavas in Zachor. That wouldn't apply to Para. With Zachor, the questions abound, because it says Mefurish that Afilu Kala Mechupasa goes out to Milchemes Mitzvah of Amalek.
If a woman's Tomei, Tumas Mei, she would get the Paraduma just like a man.
Yeah, but on that side, it's not... So that would be a reason. Alan's pointing out, let's say it's not Daraisa. women should be encouraged to come because they need to hear about this. And I would refer back to the sociological reality that in those days the women did not come to shul, and if it's just an announcement, the same way the husband would come home and tell her the mazel tovs, he'll come home and tell her, I have another answer.
Here's the bulletin.
Women don't need a reminder that Pesach is coming. Right?
Well, that's our according to the Malbim, the women did not contribute their gold to the Egel.
So then maybe they don't need. Zafar Altishka. Interesting. I like that. Okay, take a look at the Emes Liyakov. I just want to show that from the Malbim going forward, this seems to be the preferred pshat. As difficult as it is to say that this is the truth, but this seems to be the preferred pshat in the tzad that it's daraisa. Emes Liyakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, 24. Hine shamati ki kasev zachor al tishka chasher tzavta v'zeu masa ha'egal ubiyosha paradu ma'ika parala egal yesh bazeh mitzvah daraisa likra pam achas bashana v'hine yesh litmo bazeh harbe. Amri lo yikru masa egal atzmav lama kruy mach remez b'alma gam madua lo tiknu lazkiram lahazachiro shemana rambam b'mitzvasa madua lo tiknu lazkiro sasher asa la miriam baderech. But so he asks questions, but he seems to approve of this pshat. Aracha Shulchan, take a look at this, number 25. Lanias daiti nira diyesh laze remez b'torah. Now he doesn't. He's not saying that this makes it a daraisa. But the Magen Avraham, if you remember, said, "Where is it written, and where is it hinted to?" Says the Aruch HaShulchan, "Remez batar dinei beparshas para aduma ksi beemtza parsha vaisal ivnei Yisrael lechukas olam vedarshinam besifrei shtei noheges ledoros de efer para eino talei bemikdash de gam bezman haamoraim hayalahem efer para kedamrinan chavraya midkam beglila." Ubisof parsha ksiv od vaisalahem lechukas olam umiyusahu ela daasilinyan kriyas haparsha af bizman deleka efer para keinyan shamr bizvachem lemikra hiktim akazuberish rashi benidasham sheikorim beinyan ayin sham v'kol shekem bizman hazeh deleka etzem hamitzvah haisa ru'u yelios bizman hazeh im hayalanu efer para devada yishlomar sheish chiyuv likros haparsha. A little different. He says that the pasuk says, or the Chazal darshan, that para aduma is noheg ledoros. So he understands, and you don't need a mikdash. So there was a point in time that they still had ashes left over, but we don't have that anymore. So how do you keep the spirit of ledoros? We at least read about it. Now this sounds very similar to Neshama Parim Sfaseinu. But he makes it
where,
more...
Where would you do it? Would you do it... Where? I mean, where did they do it? Did they do it in the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, or they did it in their backyard? I mean, where did they do the... When they had the Eifer, they did the time of the Gemara.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like they had to go to the Makom HaMikdash. They had the Eifer.
They went, they got some Eifer, and then they did
they
it.
Had, they had
or maybe they did. I don't know.
They had even the Eifer. Somebody who was Tameh,
right,
and he wanted to become Tavar. So... What do? They used to send around the Eifer of Par Aduma all around the country. If I've been to a funeral,
so I think you had to come to the Beis HaMikdash. I can't imagine.
You had to come to the Beis HaMikdash.
To the Makom HaMikdash, wherever they stored it.
Why was it important to be Tahar? You couldn't eat. There was no kabanas. I guess people continue to eat.
I don't know. I don't know if they used it. It says they had it. I don't know if they actually used it.
They may not have used it.
Right.
There is a Par Aduma now in Israel. That someone had one. Or there is.
There was. Yeah. but what you see?
Big stretch.
Yeah.
Very big stretch. I'm not buying into it. But the ashes that they put on the chasim would be the substitute.
Oh, for
the You're right.
It's a big stretch.
But what you find, and I don't know how to explain this, but Achronim, there was, you see, I found three Achronim who go with the, this is a way of remembering the Chet HaEgel, and then you see the Aruch HaShulchan, and I put Rasimcha Zitzel Broida, and the Stipler, they go in a different direction. They try to find a hint to the fact that the Parah Aduma needs to be relevant in every generation.
Oh.
And they find, so that's the Lidoros, Lemur, that's something about Parah Aduma, to find a way to make it relevant in every generation is why we make sure to read it. And again, this sounds very similar to the fact that we don't have Korbanos, but we read about the Korbanos. Right? The Korbanos have some place, unless you go to the first minyan, the Korbanos have some place in your life, even if you're not physically bringing a Korban. That's the direction that many Achronim go in. That there's some, and they find Diyukim to make it Daraisa. It says Lemur, it says Lidoros, it says, at the end of the day, the simple understanding is that this is not Daraisa. Why some of the Rishonim write that it's Daraisa is hard to account for. The Shulchan Aruch writes that, so it's something that needs to be dealt with, which is why Achronim do find Mekoros. The Pashtus and the way we pass in Lahalacha is that this is either a minhag, at most it's derabanan. It doesn't seem like we treat it as a real mitzvah derabanan. We don't read it extra times. We, at least in the shuls I've been to, they don't encourage, you know, make sure to be here this week. You make sure not to go out of shul and miss Parshas Parah. It seems like it's very similar to Shkalim, and it's functional. The same way Shkalim was an announcement to get ready, remember the mitzvah of bringing your shekel, your half shekel. This is an announcement to make sure you're tahor. And even though nowadays we don't have tahara that's necessary, but now it's a zecher. We should remember, because it's a crucial part of the season. And then HaChodesh is to remember that Pesach is coming.
Is it like
Does no.
So, but Paro was saying there are those who say Daraisa, there are those who say it's a drabbanon.
I don't know. My diok was they said tiknu. Does tiknu mean a formal mitzvah drabbanon? The Mishnah Berurah does sound like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That all we'd be saying to minhag. Why would you not encourage women to come? I mean, again, nowadays when women come to shul anyway, why would you not encourage women to hear Parshas Parah?
Right. I don't know. Just the minhag. It's just that's a concept of minhag that you know. For some reason, this is how Claudia Show was known. That's an interesting thing. Meaning, you have to, whenever you start stressing one thing, you have to see why that and not something else.
Isn't Kriyas HaTorah?
Meaning, all Kriyas HaTorah. According to, we've done a share on this before. Your regular Kriyas HaTorah is, well, there's a machlokas achronim, whether, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kriyas HaTorah is a chov on the yachid. Now, maybe there it's man grama, I don't know, because they don't have afhen hayu ba'oso haneis, like with Megillah. But Kriyas HaTorah is a regular mitzvah. Davening, meaning before we encourage women to come for para, we should probably encourage them to daven.
I thought they were asking for davening to just say, Hashem, help me with my kids. I thought they were
I mean, that's a separate machlokas. But again, these things, and this is the way our religion functions, you know, it doesn't seem, it didn't start off as the minhag, and it hasn't evolved. Things change. I would say, even though Svarim all say that in Europe, women didn't come to Parsha Zachar. That is certainly not the minhag in America, right? And that's why Rabbi Eisenman in Passaic put out, you know, a statement that in their shul they will not have an extra kriya. They will not. That's not the minhag. But you know, maybe 50 years ago he could claim that we're still following minhagim of Europe. Nowadays, right? A lot has changed, and I would say I didn't do a formal poll, but looked around the shuls in Baltimore, Neri Yisrael, every shul has an extra kriya, right? So Rav Moshe was opposed to it. Rav Moshe was opposed to taking out a Torah for an extra time, for an extra Zohar? Kriya, for Zachar. Yes, that's Rabbi Felder records that. That is certainly not the minhag olam. Parshas Parah, we treat it like a minhag. That's how we treat it. At the end of the day, should it be treated like a Safek Daraisa, which should be a Derabanan? Should it be treated like a Derabanan? possibly the Mishnah Berurah says that, but that doesn't seem to be the consensus. Where does it come from? I would like to think that when we read it this week, we should, those who attended this year, we should have in mind to think about the Chet HaEgel. And I think it's nice that we don't think about the Chet. Besides the Gnus, I like the concept of thinking about a problem by remembering its solution. Because I think that's very we remember the Egel by remembering the solution to the Egel, which is the Para, which the famous Beis Halevi and others, the Para, the Chok aspect. The fact that, you know, the Egel was trying to use your own intellect to get to God, and this is a reminder, you know, many times things are beyond our understanding. Whatever it is, I think it's, you know, whether or not this is the authentic pshat, it's a nice thing to think about while we're hearing this. Maybe it's just some kind of, there's no downside to having in mind to be yotzei a possible mitzvah d'oraisa for those that attend. To go out and be choshish for that shita is, I think, extreme. And I think there's a downside for how many things we say are obligatory, right? Many people have their limits, and we have to choose our battles. The minag ha'olam is for sure in Ashkenazi community. We do not treat it like a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Mem Vav, in Tafresh Pehe, he's clear. We go with the Gra, the Pri Chadash, Shar Achronim. That being said, we still should hear it and have in mind Pesach, Tahara, and the answer to the Chet HaEgel. Okay.